From London Community Theatre, this is Five Tall Places.
Thank you, Five.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of LCD's Five Tall Places. I'm Jay.
I'm Heather.
I'm Charlie.
I'm Beth.
And I'm Daniel.
It has been ages since we've got like once or twice. Yeah, like Daniel's been on a few, Heather's been on a few, Beth's been on a few. Charlie, I don't think you've been on since you moved.
It's been 3 years.
Yeah, it's been ages. But this is a very special grouping of people because it is the OG group of hosts for this show. Mm-hmm. We did discover today that Beth actually didn't officially join us till episode 2, which is the third episode in the feed because we had a little 10-minute zero episode prologue first.
Nice.
And if memory is serving me correctly, I know Beth was there for like conversations going into forming the show.
Yeah, I was going to say, she was still planner.
Yeah. Like it was always planned she was going to join the show. I think there was just something in her schedule.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was 4 years ago.
So I was really busy being home with, you know,
that first episode.
I'm doing nothing.
That first episode, we were 1 week into the lockdown. Like, Daniel and I listened to it on the way here, and we were like, we're 1 week into the quarantine lockdown over concerns over the COVID-19 virus. And all of a sudden, we're like, it'll be fun listening to this in the future because we don't know what's coming up next. We don't know what we've got to go through. Like,
we only thought it was going to be like a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about rescheduled and clue for like April.
Yeah.
Like, nobody, it was spring. I remember it was spring break.
Yeah.
And the kids didn't go back after spring break.
Oh, yeah.
And then they were like, oh, another week. Oh, another week. Just kidding. We're out for the year.
Yeah. But so why have we reassembled the OG cast?
It's a very special episode.
It is.
Very special episode.
Tonight, on a very special episode of LCD's Five Tall Places, as we look back at the past and what has gone ahead, speculate about the future, and one of these cast members will die.
Dun, 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 dun.
Not that last part.
We were headed into like Delilah Radio, and then it was more like Delilah.
I was doing a very special episode from either one of these cast members will die, or one of them will reveal their drug addiction, or something.
Fair. Yeah.
Big twist.
I'm excited.
Right.
I just can't. That was a very special episode.
This is a very special episode. This is episode 100 of this podcast. So we wanted to, several years ago, we came across episode 50, and we ended up we didn't have a specific thing to discuss that episode. That episode was just me and Daniel and Beth in the green room up at LCT, hanging out and being friends. And we kind of thought that was a good way to celebrate episode 100. Just get the whole crew back together and hang out and be friends for a minute.
Yay, friends.
Yeah. And like I said in my super scintillating intro, we'll talk a little about what's gone on in the past 4 years and speculate about the future and probably also ramble and go off on tangents. And
this crew?
If this intro is any indication...
Can you bumper us in with Eminem's Guess Who's Back?
Guess Who's Back?
No. Rude.
Yeah.
Rude.
I mean, you got Heather's wonderful stylings on that.
Guess
so.
Who's back?
Back again. Lovely. We are show ready today.
So, Charlie, you've been away from the LCT building.
He relocated.
Since the last time you were on this show, you've gone on to a different adventure.
I have. I left Lubbock for Pittsburgh. Been living there the last 2-3 years, and just recently came back to Texas. So here I am, back in Dallas, close but not quite traveling distance for Lubbock.
See, I will say, I might disagree a little bit. I feel like Dallas is definitely close enough for a little travel. when the opportunity arises.
Maybe not like coming to Lubbock for a sandwich, but maybe if we're putting on a really cool show.
Is there a sandwich here we're driving here for? Is there?
True.
Yeah. Barbecue, yeah, but
not a sandwich.
But a sandwich? I don't know.
What were you saying, Charlie?
I did consider coming in for this. I thought about coming in and showing up.
Oh my gosh, I would have fainted.
There is always a couch with your name on it.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there was a bedroom, but man, I filled those. But
yeah,
there's always a couch.
Excellent. Well, I will definitely next time. Next 200th episode.
Nice.
Because I'm looking forward to it. I listen to these episodes. It's my way of connecting with you guys and making sure that I'm still keeping up to date with what's happening at LCT. Because I miss it. I do. It's part of my like family. It's part of my history. You know, a success for you guys is still a win in my book. And I love hearing all the stories and like the ways y'all are just growing and expanding and still succeeding down there in Lubbock. So
I mean, we are still here, guys.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's pretty
cool.
Impressive.
Yeah, that first episode, there were some questions, you know, just arts in general.
Yeah,
are we gonna be able to make it through this?
Well, and that was a big impetus for creating this podcast, which I think then led to the creation of the whole digital performing arts umbrella that we have at LCT, was a way for us to keep creating theater content and keep ourselves in people's minds and keep ourselves busy doing theater while the world was shut down. Because that was so many of the theaters we saw were just going dark. And then just went dark for 8 months. And many theaters in this country did not come back from that. Or many of them came back lessened and changed and drastically.
I agree. I think it was the seed. It was the seed that started the digital performing arts program, that led into things like Live-ish, that led into the sketch comedy, that led into trying to do, we did Talking With, we did 15 Reasons Not to Be in a Play, which was very ironic at the time.
Yeah, some of those
jokes really landed different.
Which technically is my youngest daughter's first show was
I do have quite a few of our kids, video of our kids singing Jingle Bells and being on camera.
From the LCT's Tis the Season.
That is when I got COVID for the first time.
Yes.
I'm almost positive I know which one.
Which kid gave you COVID?
Yes. Don't worry, kid. We still like you.
We're not naming your name on the show.
My kids were not. My kids were in the Jingle Bell thing, but not 13 Reasons.
Yeah. Well, Jingle Bells is what I'm talking about. That's
we didn't have it till way later.
Because we
have
a bunch of those.
Listen, Charlie, I've had a handful of stage managers in the past 3 years, and they're all great, but they ain't Charlie.
They're not Charlie.
Well, thank you kindly for that. I really enjoyed my time stage managing for you guys.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Never
Cinderella was the best.
Not once.
Not two. Clue.
It was a joke because I don't remember.
Oh. You know what, Charlie? There was something that someone had said one time talking to me. When we were talking about why you and I were so connected and how we managed to build up the friendship that we had. And there was this idea that you understood how to speak Heather-ese, or how to understand Heather-ese. And I always felt that was very true. I think you had a way of understanding what I was trying to say, even when I wasn't always great at getting across my point, or in my neurodiverse ways, not having it come across in the way that I wanted it to. And you were always a great buffer, and you were someone who understood where my heart was on stuff. And I think that I always hold that. I thank you for understanding how to talk and speak Heather.
I think you did an excellent job of making sure that the theater was always a welcome place for me and everyone too. And I think from the get-go, our first meeting that I remember was almost Maine, and we were backstage and you were needing some help tying your skate or something, and you were just so nice to me that from that moment on I was like, I'm gonna do what I can to help this woman, like, with whatever. And you were just like, hey, do you want to be a stage manager for another show? And I was like, yeah, I've never done it before, let's do it.
I had to wear ice skates on stage and with no ice skating rink. And a larger lady trying to lace them up, sitting on a bench. It was fun. Fun times. I do miss that show. I miss you. I'm so proud of all the seeds that have been laid by this little podcast that has grown so much and grown the programming that we've done. And I thought, you know, I've loved having the kids even doing it, knowing that they're doing it like monthly as well. They're learning. They have the summer camps with it. I mean, it really has grown into something huge.
We just recorded an episode with, earlier this week, I recorded an episode with kids, with some of the kids from the LCT Stages Kids, which is the younger group production of Miss Nelson Is Missing, which that'll be the next, this is episode 100, that'll be episode 100. So just a quick little teaser to everybody. Those kids, one, they were a delight, but like that episode's probably like 35 minutes long or something, because 20 minutes of it is all the kids trying to outdo each other with like helpful life advice and encouragement. So we got all these like 7-year-olds when we're talking about doing the show, and they'll talk about the show for half a second before they just lean into the mic and start telling other kids that, like, you may think that you can't remember those lines, but you can.
No.
Anything you want, put your heart to. And like, we didn't interrupt them because we're like, this is just so sweet and
it's
precious.
It's gold, man.
I need to come to main season rehearsals and be like, hey,
no
guys,
kidding. Yeah.
You can do this.
The kids and Miss Nelson are having it. Look, from what I can see, they're having a good time and they like each other. And of course, that always translates. You know, when a cast is that way behind the scenes, it translates really well into what you see on stage, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So
it does.
Charlie, you were talking about meeting Heather. I can remember when I first met Heather. Heather does not remember when she met Heather. But
it's true.
Heather was somewhat busy. It was before I lived here, and I think before we were talking about moving up here, because it was been like 20. Yeah.
It was
9 to 5,
right?
It was
9 to 5.
I met you that trip,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's where I met Beth as well.
It was early 2019, May of 2019.
Yeah. So. Oh, that's right. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. We ended up going for a drive and playing on the playground of the school that my kids would later attend for like 6 weeks. But point is, I came up to Lubbock in 2019 to see 9 to 5, which Heather was directing. Beth and Daniel were both in. Were you doing backstage stuff, or were you?
No, I was in it. I was the ensemble, and I had like a couple of lines. I was doctor.
Yeah, you did not have a huge part, but I remember that you got pointed out to me, and I remembered who you were. Like, even when I moved up here later, I remembered you from 9 to 5.
That's because they're both dynamic performers.
No, well, sure.
But
ensemble to Big Mama.
You know what? That show is also where I met Whitney. He doesn't remember this either, but I actually ushered that show so that I could see the show for free.
Nice.
Which is a thing we still do, Lubbock. You usher and volunteer and help with stuff, you get a free ticket to the show. But
I did enjoy your description of me, though, when you said you first met me. So I was like, that tracks.
Yeah. Well, another funny story that I may have told on this show, I know I've definitely talked to Heather about this before, but before I get there, I will say, after the show, Daniel took me back to introduce me to people, and at one point we did run into Heather, and Heather was like on a mission for wherever she was, and Daniel introduced me, and she was like, hi, it's good to meet you, we'll have to talk sometime about getting you up here to collaborate with us on something. And I was like, yeah, right on. And it was like, she's not going to remember this conversation.
And
she didn't.
That tracks.
Yeah. But also, there's an episode, an instance before that. There's the Onstage blog, a theater blog, and that I follow on Facebook. And they posted an article in like 2016 about why community theater is as important and should be revered as Broadway. They used photos from LCT's production of Noises Off in that article, which was fun because this article went up right as I was rehearsing Noises Off for Abilene Community Theater when I was still down there. And so I commented, I was like, hey, Noises Off, we're literally in rehearsal for that show right now. And then someone responded to me, they're like, oh, this is actually from our production a little while back. And so I went back and forth with this person from, she's like, yeah, no, I'm a Lubbock Community Theater. We just did this recently. And we talked back and forth about our two Garys and our how much fun she had doing the show and how excited I was to do the show. And I was like, blah, 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 blah. And then 5-6 years later, when I moved up here and joined this theater troupe, this comes up in my memories, and I'm like, oh my god, that was Heather that I was talking with on this.
That's why. I do recall that exchange.
Yeah.
I do recall that exchange.
Well before we ever met.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
It's such a small world.
I still knew her first.
You did?
We did.
I know, before all you fools.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe not you.
I do think we're the longest standing, for sure.
Because that was what?
Well, as far as ties to you,
like 13 years,
yeah, that's before me. That's right about
the
same time.
Standing at this table is these two guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew Daniel before any of you.
Charlie was probably like a baby. You know,
a what?
You were, how old were you in 1999? If you don't mind revealing
don't
that.
Hurt me.
I was like 8.
Oh Jesus!
Or 9.
Because that's when Daniel and I met.
Yeah.
In 1999.
Yeah.
I'll state though. I sometimes I groan a little bit about getting older, but I guarantee you, I am safe and secure in where I am at this point in my life. And going back to my 20s, oh my,
no. Nope.
So much of my 20s were spent just like I had good times, but so much of it was just drifting and being like, what do I even want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of,
yeah, mine were all right. I got married at 24, so
yeah,
most
so,
of it.
I got married.
Rachel, she's cool.
I got married at 29.
She's just barely.
So I wrote a list of questions.
Yeah.
Do it.
Rapid fire.
As a guy who's not involved as much anymore with LCT, these are some things that I want to know from you guys.
Oh, okay.
Right on. Way to be prepared, Charlie.
I know. Gosh. Dang it, Charlie. Dang it.
We all just stumbled into this, and Charlie's like,
if,
no, I've got structure.
It's as if he would have been a good stage manager.
And he's, and he's so kind about it. He's like, these are just some things I would like to know. And you're like,
right,
okay,
on.
We'll do what you say.
Fire away, Charlie.
So, over the last 3 or 4 years that this podcast has been going, what's one improvement LCCT... Sorry, let me try this again. Over the past 3 or 4 years that this podcast has been going, what's one improvement to LCT that you have seen that you really value?
Space. The new building is really cool, but it's probably not... I mean... It wouldn't be my first, the most amazing. It's something that has facilitated really great things, I think.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
I'd love to see, and there's been such an increase in new faces to LCT. It's kind of even a recurring thing. It's always this constant level of new people coming in and them feeling welcomed and they staying. And it's just, I've loved that. I've loved seeing kind of the family aspect grow and being able to grow our projects so that we can support the growing amount of artists, whether it is the plays or hopefully a short film, because we've got some really great things I'd love to kind of even discuss about what the future looks like.
Oh,
but,
for sure. Yes.
I just think that we keep constantly growing, but instead of like not trying to accommodate that growth, we keep trying to find ways to plug more people in instead of trying to lessened, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think that's been really palpable. Because, like, I think about this era of LCT kind of starting with the 5 people on this panel and then Rachel, who is not, here to record right now, but has definitely been involved very heavily in the direction and the management of LCT in the past several years. She's been part of that planning and all of that. The number of people that have come since then, and there are people who I think about who have are fairly recent additions who we're already thinking of as family, part of the group. Think of people like DK and Micah and Jordan, who are new additions. And I mean, DK just now been here about a year or something.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so are you.
Yeah.
Mine is twofold, Charlie. Mine is also partly people. There have been people come in that are so dear to me that I don't remember when I didn't know them, much like you guys.
Yes.
Kaylee.
Yeah.
Dave Cox.
James.
Karen. I don't remember, and I don't want to. So that's been a good thing. The other is the consistent amount of opportunity that is offered to actors, period, full stop. In a larger metropolitan area, directors wouldn't give me a second look, but because we don't, it's not a you know, 8 million people in one place, I have the opportunity to read for roles that are not only age appropriate, but they're interesting and good. And LCT is just continues to do that. Every year with their selections, they pick a wide range of stuff. And I'm very grateful for that. I'm thankful for that.
Except next season. Next season it's all for 14-year-olds, but just 14.
Just 14-year-olds.
Okay.
No.
Kaylee is another one of those names for sure. Like, she's just hit her, like, year of really being
involved. Yeah, she came in for
Once a Life.
Life.
Yeah.
So a year and 2 months, and what an impact that's been in a year and 2 months for sure.
Well, I was thinking about that, like, even working fairly closely with her in Play That Goes Wrong at the beginning of this current season.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, she would have really only been plugged in here hardcore for 7 or 8 months, but it already felt like,
mm-hmm.
of course, Kaylee's always been here, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then she directed a show and hit it out of the park.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, and that last year really kind of ties into the points you were making now, but playing these roles from my age that are interesting and that I wouldn't get to read before Calendar Girls is totally right. Like it ticks all those boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Show that you two just did together.
Mm-hmm. We did. We had talked about that the first time that we had met each other was exactly 10 years for Steel Magnolias, and here we hadn't even really been on stage together
mm-hmm.
since then. It took a decade. But look at, I think that's what's really cool, is that look how much theater you and I have both done.
Golly.
So there's so much available to be able to do and to, you know, sink our teeth into and to create. And
that's
it took 10 years for us to do.
I know, right? And that's citywide, too. There's lots.
Yeah,
there's other
yeah.
stuff besides just LCT. There's lots to be involved in cheerleading for the arts in general.
Yeah.
The theater scene all around here is really especially, like, there, again, plenty of theaters that existed before my time here that, you know, Cats and places like that date back quite some time as well. There are plenty of other, but in the past few years since the world opening back up, we came out real strong, and it feels like the rest of the theater scene has really exploded here too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's just been so much more. There's been so much. We've all talked about it before, being amazed at the amount of theater opportunity
and the amount of people that are willing to still do it.
Yeah.
To keep doing it and keep it energized and fresh.
And then people, I love that the talent pool is wide enough to support this many theaters, but that we all are willing to like share people too. Like,
sure.
Somebody may do this show at Moonlight over the summer and then come audition for one of our shows in the fall,
mm-hmm.
and then go do something at the Wallace, and then do something at Cats as well. Like,
there were a bunch of people from LCU that auditioned for Beauty and the Beast
mm-hmm.
that we'd never had
yeah.
before. And vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
People from LCT are branching out and going all other places. I think it's a real share the love kind
yeah.
of moment.
Yeah, that's, like Heather was talking about, the number of new faces that we've seen. Like, I feel like it's increased a bit every season. to more to where we get to where we are this season, where auditions for everything are crazy because there's, you know, so many people coming out for every single show.
If so you want to be in that show right now, it's not great. But
yeah, because there's just a lot more people to compete with now than there used to be.
But that, even that's fun too, because that whole there were so many people there. I don't know. I don't hate that.
Yeah. So every show ends up being like there's a mix of old faces and veterans and stuff, and then like half as many new people as well that we've never met before, and then.
Every show.
And then every show, too. Some of those new people, like, some of them maybe don't stick around immediately, and maybe they come back later, and then some people just, like, immediately after that show, they want to get plugged in. It's
neat. What's your next question?
Yes, okay. So we'll go in the past again. In the past 3 or 4 years, we've done all sorts of shows, events, LCT Live-ish, anything and everything under the sun. So tell me, what is your favorite theater memory that you have from the past 3 to 4 years?
It's going to be a few.
Man, that's tough.
I don't know that I can give a singular answer. I think it's going to be a few.
Yeah. I will say it was very surreal to open up Clue in that new building.
That was going to be one of mine, yeah.
To have watched it go in such a relatively short time, too. Because you have to think about it. We had purchased the building end of April, had 30 days to move in out of our previous space. So that's May, June. And then we opened by September. So we took all of that 4 months to completely transform that gymnasium, get the stadium risers in and the chairs, hang the black carpet, paint the walls. And I will say, I put so much on Dean Baker for helping spearhead getting all of that stuff done.
Amen, amen.
And then on top of handling this remodel and this move, directing and opening up Clue, trying to bring back as many people, I think everyone but one was an original cast member that we had rehearsed years.
That was the role I took.
Yes.
And it was so surreal. Opening night, the ribbon cutting ceremony, all of it. Surreal, for sure. Surreal. That is a
And you were like a dressy gal.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I wore the ball gown.
Yeah, I remember. I wore a yellow suit. And I had that giant cast on my hand.
Oh, I tied your shoes every night.
My tendon reconstruction surgery was like the night of final dress or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I appreciate that Thursday.
Yeah, Charlie, you were actually one of the ones who finally convinced me to go to the hospital when I did that to
my
finger.
Thank you, Charlie.
Because I spent so much time, this isn't indicative of the state of the world, but a lot of people listening may not know this story. A lot of people who know us do know this story. But I injured my finger very badly backstage. It wasn't Clue related, but it was right before we opened Clue.
I think I
impaled my finger on a pocket knife and severed the tendons. And the whole time that I am bleeding out and wrapping my hand up in multiple just wads of paper towels, I'm sitting there trying to convince myself that it's not as bad as it looks, and I can hold it closed till it can stitch over and grow a scab, and I'll be fine and don't have to go to the hospital because, you know, the prospect of going to the hospital in America is super frightening because it's super expensive and ridiculous. But it was one of the times I was redressing the wound, and Charlie, you were in there helping me look at it, and you were like, we really got to look at how deep it was. And I was like, I have to go to the hospital, don't I? And you helped convince me to just go to the hospital.
And that's one of Jed's best memories.
Yes. That opening Clue is absolutely going to be one of mine. That was because it was so... Just the whole of putting that building together. You talk about Dean painting and spearheading so much of that.
I can remember
walking in that first time when he started painting it black and it didn't look... The first time it didn't look like a gym and he put that first coat of black paint in and... He was still up there, like, doing some more of it up there on the lift, and we were just all standing there, just, like, with our mouths, our jaws hanging open, just looking at what he'd done to that room.
I remember Dana took me aside one time, and she just said, Heather, I didn't see it at first. I couldn't grasp what you were saying. And you kept trying to tell me, like, no, this is that we can do this. This can be a theater. She said, we were rehearsing under the basketball goals. And I was like, I am trying to trust you, Heather.
Yeah.
And then that's when she saw it. And she told me that that was that defining moment of, this is happening. We can do this. And so I always appreciated her coming to me. And she goes, I didn't trust you in the beginning, but I sure as hell trust you now. And that was really important for me.
I remember touring that building and just the feeling of, oh my gosh, like this, yeah, I see it. We can make this. I remember also going to sign the papers on the new building. That came up in my memories recently.
Oh, wow.
Came up in the
memories. I did see that. I mean, it was just such a turning point.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I even think about that now. I think our average, we do 5 shows before. We maybe had 50 opportunities for actors and artists or whatever. But we literally, at this point, have over 3, if not 400 contract artists a year.
Yeah.
So we've got to be one of the highest, that hires the most artists in our area. I mean, I don't know. It's amazing to me to think about what we do now and the building was a catalyst for being able to grow that program the way it did.
Yeah, just because the space alone.
At
the old building, there was the 2 rehearsal spaces, and that was it. Although I have very fond memories of
it. I do too. I love that space. But yeah, it was hard to make it work.
That's where the boots in the pocket had. Wasn't that room?
So Daniel and Beth haven't had a chance to answer this question yet, so I will be quick about getting through this. But I know that 2 other things that were super special about for me were. Clue was the first time in all the years that we've known each other and been friends and both been involved with theater and everything else, Clue was the first time Daniel and I got to be on stage together and do a show together. So that was special. And I also wanted to point out another special memory of theater and of LCT and everything is when Beth and I walked out as king and queen of the gallo to the music of Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
That's true.
When they wanted to present the king and queen and they let us pick the music we wanted to come out to. So
yeah, we did.
Without hesitating, we both went to Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just like, I swear.
And just like the old days, it comes back to Star Trek.
Always. So now
an episode goes by.
I'm going to find a way to mention Inspecting Carol sometime in this.
Done.
But yeah, they came to get us. We're back to the announcing. We're standing there, our costumes and our crowns and our outfits, and we've got our thrones up there. It's like the king and queen. And
I had goosebumps, man.
I did too. It was so great.
So good.
That was fantastic.
I am going to say, it's going to be hard to say it. At the end, in the production of No Room for a Picture on the Blank Wall, which I could talk about it for hours. But in the last scene, the movers take me away. Mm-hmm. And turning back to Jorge.
Yeah.
To say, I know you do, old man. I love you right back. And seeing his face, I will never forget that as long as I live. Speaking of new faces, came out of nowhere. Well, he's Connie's dad, but he just kind of came out of nowhere and is one of my dearest friends in the universe. That whole experience, that whole show changed me at a cellular level. And I was thinking of the other one. The other one was more communal than that. Not quite as specific. Daniel, say something, I'll think of it.
So yeah, I mean, Clue is, I mean, absolutely going to be
one
of mine. But Riff Raff, the first time we did Riff Raff, like, that was just because Rocky Horror, I mean, I love it. So anyway, those two. And then it sounds so lame, but for the second live-ish, we did a Beastie Boys parody.
Yes.
Called Getting Old. And it's...
That's one of my favorite
things. It's probably one of my favorite things I've ever done.
Me and
like,
Daniel.
Just
and
in the world.
Chris Cook.
Chris Cook, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just... I think it's... I love it, so...
My other one was the no air conditioning at the prom.
Oh my god.
And then
poor memory.
And then finding out recently, which I corroborated, and he came forward with his lies. Buying $50 worth of tickets so I could be prom queen, and then finding out later that my husband came and bought like another $100 worth of tickets.
Yeah.
And the crown sits on the headboard of my bed.
I remember you jumping out of the chair and squealing when you
yes,
got announced as prom queen.
I wanted it so dang bad to give my high school the finger.
Yeah.
I can be queen of the misfits. It's fine.
80s prom was such a...
That was such a cool thing.
And having done like helium things for the centerpieces and then coming in later in the day and they were all like... It's like, oh, jeez.
So hear me out, Charlie. Was Over the River the first time you stage managed for me?
Yes.
Okay, so core memory I have is working with some of my very favorite long-term, I miss them so much people, and I know that there's going to be a chance and opportunity to work together again.
Wasn't Randall in that?
Yeah.
Right on.
Randall, Jay and Pam Brown, Cassie, David Mitchell, and then Charlie, my stage manager. And I mean, he had to make so much food because it was a show about food. And they ate maybe 6 times on that stage. So there was pasta. There was like, we used the little banquet, like McRib things. From McDonald's, and then the cannolis. There were so many cannolis, so many dishes to do. But it was a great group of actors, and it was just one of my more iconic memories of directing, and of working with those actors who I miss greatly. And Charlie telling me that we will never again do a show with that much food and. Our entire
and then all the food in Clue was fake.
Was fake.
Yeah. We had to pretend to eat spaghetti. I would love to eat real spaghetti.
I love spaghetti.
Although, yeah, oh my god, you talk about one of the worst foods to eat in costume would have been spaghetti.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, Beth could have done the way she.
I couldn't have thrown it at you.
It was so hard not to laugh every time.
All right, next question.
Okay, we've done a lot of shows and events. We've done proms and live-ish and all these things. What's one that you still want to do? Think the next 3 years.
Oh, gosh. Will Rogers Follies, I will say it until the day that I die, and Best Christmas Pageant Ever.
Well, that might be making an appearance.
Yeah.
I really want to see the Digital Performing Arts Program expand. I want to see us doing short films. I want to see us doing film festivals. And I think there's a high chance some of that stuff's going to come to fruition this year.
Oh, yeah.
I love the short movies that the older kids did.
Oh, God.
Not just the one that Eleanor was in. The other one was fantastic, too.
I've been so proud of that one area with digital performing arts has been able to do the past few years is our summer camps, our filmmaking camp as part of the summer camps, and every year I feel like it's gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that first year was chaotic and because we were learning and figuring things out, and the changes that came from that learning experience are definitely for the better, but like, I'm still proud of what we did that first year. Mm-hmm. And those kids had fun, and that class is consistently super popular and fills up every summer, so we must be doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
I bet I can guess one of yours.
What was that?
Can I take a guess?
Sure, go ahead.
A Night of One Acts.
Oh yeah, 100% I want to do, and we've got some stuff coming that's in that vein, but it's not quite a Night of One Acts. I want to do the thing that we're going to do and One Acts as separate events, because they both fulfill kind of slightly different purposes. But
what Jed's referencing is that we're going to have a 10-minute festival coming up in August. So we're going to be looking for scripts and directors and actors who want to work on original work. I mean, it's another program I'm really proud of.
Yeah.
In keeping with that digital performing arts program, I still stand by. Charlie, you and me, we are going to figure out LCT Main Street.
Absolutely.
I want the Sesame Street style with the puppets and the education and the, all of that stuff to come through in something that we perform locally with our local artists, our local leaders. And I think there's something there. I think there's something there.
I'll come be your artist in residence and work.
Come on, man. I think it would be great if I could follow the train of thought that before I had started talking.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. We have added voice classes and acting classes, and I think more of that, I could see more of that happening. That would be great. I hope they've gotten a good response. I'm not in the office as much as I was in the beginning, but I think people respond to that, or like audition workshops and things like that. Yeah. I want to do this, but how do I do it? Well, come and I'll show you how to. We'll have this person that will show you how to do it.
Yeah.
We have our first masterclass audition prep, and over 20 kids signed up for that before Legally Blonde.
Yeah.
Mine would also probably be doing the film stuff. I'd like actually getting some short films made. I've written a couple that we've been in talks, you know, to do that I think could be really fun. There's one that's a sketch that is not like a short film that is just for me and Jed. And
yeah.
I'm really excited about that.
I'm so excited about that.
So we
I think the whole making of that is going to be a fun process.
Yeah. So, so making films and doing film work and even just doing like the auditions for those is going to be interesting and fun.
Yeah. Formulating the whole digital performing arts. Like it's been a passion and a part of this whole process since we started this started this current direction of, you know, things, but it's only been able to do so much for the past several years, and now we're to the point where we're like, all right, we can start putting something in it and start building it and growing it, and I'm very, very excited about that.
Building it and growing it and doing it.
Well.
Okay. Next.
Okay. So we talked about how one of the things that we really value from the new LCT building and the last 3 years is that we've been able to meet so many people. So we kind of talked about it a little bit previously, but let's go ahead and like make it official. Let's talk about someone that you've met in the last 3 or 4 years that has inspired you or changed you, or that you can't see your life being the same.
Oh, gosh.
You see, that's mean. just kidding.
Is it? We can skip it.
Well, no, I don't want to be like, I love this person, and all the rest of you look crap. I don't know. That is tough. Because a lot of, you know, the people that are like the core LCT people that I think of are people that have been around since before that, like that I knew, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. First one that came to mind was Karen, because she
oh,
is...
Oh, dang it.
We're going to say two.
She just... Because Karen just lights up a room when she comes in it. Treva does the exact same thing.
Yeah.
When Treva walks into a room, you're like, ooh, Treva's here.
Mm-hmm.
So those two have a very similar air, and I like what they bring to a room.
Yeah, no, I've met a lot of people. And it helped... Everybody at LCT that I've made friends with fits this description for me because of when I moved here, so I can literally say anyone except for Daniel and Rachel, because they're the ones that I've known for much longer than this.
I will change my answer since he said Karen, and Karen's wonderful. Karen is everything that you want in somebody that you meet for the first time. She's just, Karen's great. I will say David Cox and James Allison. I got to know them through Wonderful Life and No Room, and they are part of my family. I don't want to say brothers because it's not really, it's not like that, but it's not like that.
Yeah.
I value their advice. I value their opinions. I just can't imagine not knowing either one of them. They would do anything for anybody that asked, either one of them. They're brilliant. I love you guys.
Yeah, when you said David Cox, it makes me think of that the promo we did for to play the Ghost
Those Wrong. Are
and that wall falls.
And David's pants just flutter.
He gets really tired of me asking him to say, have an episode!
Show was fun.
Well, and I love that James and David both kind of started out working on building sets and doing stuff behind, and then mm-hmm. they kind of worked their way onto the stage as well.
Mm-hmm.
And now I figured out Mousetrap, which I'm currently rehearsing, is the first show that James and I have gotten to do together.
Mm-hmm.
So that has been fun too. And there's another cast that we talked before about half of it is people that I know and am familiar with, and then the other half is I've never heard of any of you, I've never met, or even on the production team, there are people whose names I have known, but I haven't ever met or worked with before, so it's a good mix of...
It's interesting. I like it. I mean, I like that we have a bunch of new people coming in, because it's always good to have a new, fresh crop of people, but I think almost more important is that people have had good experiences enough to want to come back.
Yeah.
Because, I've worked on shows that behind the scenes were difficult, and then people in those shows, they didn't come around for a while, and there was a couple that I was like, you've got, don't let this be what you think this place is.
Yeah.
The man who shot Liberty Valance? That's not how any of this is supposed to go.
But I still put on a cool show.
Thanks.
I really wanted you to be in the casket on the bar at the
end. Well, it was about 2 feet too short.
Yeah, no, I know. It was, yeah. But anyway, you were saying.
I would be so remiss if I didn't mention my friend Brianne Reynon. Van Reynon. Brie and I did The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, which was a separate entity of not LCT. And then she came in red for Calendar Girls and was cast, and we got to do that together. I feel like I've known her my entire life.
Who was she in Calendar Girls?
Acelia.
Okay. Yeah.
She's just another one of those people. Well, yeah, I can do that, or we can do this, or we can finish this show and put it on at Crickets.
Yeah.
She's just very. Very rarely will say, that's not great. She's just a champion for people, and she's just delightful. Kaylee's another one of those people. Mm-hmm. Kaylee Young.
Oh, sure.
We did Wonderful Life and started horsing around and being ridiculous together, and it just spiraled from there. We're partners in our ridiculousness and can cry and throw a fit in front of each other and then be fine later. And just be like, whatever, we're human. It's fine.
Yeah. Kaylee is one of those people that very much like what you're talking about, feeling like you've always known this person.
Mm-hmm.
That's how, when I was talking earlier about Play That Goes Wrong and all that, and she'd only been here for a matter of months at that point. But it felt like, no, we've been friends for years.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, yeah, of course, this is a...
Sorry, watching her bandage up the fighting ladies every night from behind. I'm back there with the couch, just watching because I can't go to her. And she's all like, I don't know, they're just playing with that window a lot.
Ayana, how could I not say Ayana Arnold? Ayana, I love you so much. If you ever listen to this, she came into LCT and did Pipeline. And then she was in Wonderful Life and Calendar Girls and is just a ray of sunshine. She's hysterically funny.
Yeah.
She's kind. She's a brilliant actor. She's just fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, she does not fall into the last 3 or 4 years for me, though, because I met her when they did Steel Magnolias.
That's right. At Will of the Wind. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I didn't know her then.
Yeah, see, because I...
She was Malin, right?
She was the mom.
Yeah, that's Malin.
Because I knew Andy Babineau.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I went and saw it. It was because I knew her, and I was like, oh, let's see. And then I just cried and cried and cried. And after the show, I asked Andy if she could introduce me because I wanted to get a hug.
It's a good hug. It's one of those you don't want to let go. Yeah. She's fantastic. So, we're talking about Ayana.
Oh, yes. No, I love her. I was real. Calendar Girls was the first time I've ever gotten to work with her. And we had laughed about that too, going as much theater as we've both done. That's just a testament to how much there is to do.
Mm.
Because her and I still, that was the first time we'd been able to actually work together.
Mm.
And it was beautiful. I loved it. I loved every minute.
So do we want to, before we move on to the next one, pose this question again real quick so that I didn't have a chance to answer it?
Or... She gets to be mean and pick favorites now too.
Yeah.
We can still skip this whole part of this question if we don't like it. I just thought it would be interesting. Who's someone you've met in the last 3 years that has inspired you or changed you or you couldn't see living without or knowing?
Oh, in the last couple of years?
Yeah, since basically this
all started, yeah.
Oh, man.
There is a correct answer for this, by the way.
See if she picks
for
it.
For you in particular.
I will tell you, it's not someone that I necessarily met before this, but I will... I literally could not do and help run LCT without Rachel Ballard.
That is the correct answer.
Oh, is it? Because, I mean,
I was going to see if she said Karen too.
Oh yeah.
I strongly feel like, you know, I talk with her regularly. If not, she's kind of my, she helps keep me in line. She helps keep me organized. She's my therapist, which is probably not healthy. And she is another person that still somehow manages to try and speak Heather, even when I'm not getting myself across the way that I want to. But she knows where my heart is. I think her and I values meld really well. And at the core, we both believe in what we're trying to do. And she is a wonderful help and support in that.
Yeah, what's crazy is to think that, like, she hadn't done anything with LCT at all before doing the podcast. Like, podcast was literally really the first thing she did, and then she ended up co-directing or something.
She co-directed Cinderella with me at the Civic Center.
Well, that was no, like, one of the
which was the last time we got Charlie.
It was the 15 Reasons.
Yeah,
Cinderella was the first thing. She was the... Was she assistant?
She was she's AD.
Yeah, she's AD. Yeah, and then Charlie stage managed that.
Mm-hmm.
She channeled you, Charlie. Rachel channeled you for Calendar Girls. So there is a, you know, side door that exits to the outside, like there often is. And she was right by the door with a music stand and a light. She didn't have a stool. I was like, you need a stool.
I can't tell you how often your name we refer to. Yeah, remember when Charlie did this or Charlie?
I will never.
You are in regular conversation, my friend.
I won't ever forget Travis coming off in Clue, and your little I'm using my hands like the people out. Charlie can see me. He knows what I'm doing.
Right.
And your podium was right there, and your face was down, and you didn't even look up. You just handed him a rag. It was the funniest thing. Remember when his pants broke open?
Yes.
And then Lisa and Jill they had everything from gaff tape to a stapler trying to put those pants back together.
And they're like in blackout.
That's crazy. I hurt my leg when we were doing Cool. It was like the first Saturday we were doing
that.
And Trisha or somebody was taping your leg up. like your calf or something every night with the sports tape or something?
Yeah.
That's vague. I don't know if that's
true. But what's
true.
Funny is I had that cane. And so, like, I got a cane because it, like, literally helped me.
Mm.
But then when I did the switch at the end, I would drop the cane. And so I just had to do that last, like, couple minutes and act like I didn't hurt.
You said cane? Charlie, I still have the cane at my house that you went and bought at CVS.
I just remember being like, I need to do something in this moment. I need to go and get a cane.
The chair incident at Lantern.
I remember Charlie actually calling me, not wanting to tell me.
I was more worried about you than at Daniel than I was my foot.
I remember that.
I was more worried about you.
I remember.
I kept trying to stand up. I kept trying to sit up, and I would feel it come up my neck, and I said, Travis, put me on the ground before the ground comes to me.
Yeah. Well, what I remember is you getting hurt and then calling your husband about, like, I'm on the ground, I can't get up. And it was like, well, how much have you had?
He's like, how much have you had to drink? I said, 2 sips!
I was like, it's not because I'm drunk, it's because I've been wounded.
I wasn't drunk either.
No, nobody was. Everybody wasn't even there yet. The bakers showed up and I was laid out on the floor and they're like, what the hell?
Yeah. Oh man, I remember that.
That's nuts. We all have theater injuries.
Yeah.
There was a post theater injury.
Well, I was going to say, Clue. We all got, there was a lot of injuries around me. You hurt your leg, you had the chair incident. I, with my finger, like, it was all around Clue.
Oh man, I think I've hurt someone at least once every time I've been in a show. But that's another story for another time.
Unless the next question happens to be, what
was it? You have the opportunity to do something really funny here, Charlie.
Next question is the last one. So this is the 100th episode. We've covered top fives, interviews, all sorts of what's going on at LCT. What does the next 100 episodes look like, or what do you want to cover in the next 100 episodes?
That's kind of interesting because we literally had a conversation
talking about
this.
It. Yeah. So with the podcast has had to kind of go back to being mostly just about stuff that's going on at LCT, and that's largely been because there's been so much to do that there hasn't been time to really plan out an agenda for the podcast, and that's limited being able to do a lot of the shows we kind of did early on, where we would talk not just about what's going on, we'd talk to other theater personalities in Lubbock, we'd talk about other just theater news and other aspects of theater, to like do episodes about for those who aren't theater involved, what does it mean when we say this? What is this process like? What is that, you know, that's all stuff that we kind of did in the first year of the show we haven't been able to do because there hasn't been enough time to plan it out anymore now that we're all back to work and not, you know, just in our homes for all day every day. And with the push to really grow now that we're hitting the point where we're going to be able to have the time and the resources to put a concerted effort into the digital media programming, part of that has been fleshing out the podcast again, going back to not just being like, obviously we're still going to talk to the cast of whatever show, and we're going to tell you about news at LCT and tell you about upcoming events and look back on events that have happened in the past and all of that, but we want to bring it back to being a broader theater resource where we do talk to the other people from other theaters and do general theater education and theater fun
even top
stuff.
Fives even done more later.
We haven't done it in years. So it might bring that back. It might not be just me hosting the podcast. I might go back to having a very regular co-host. Yeah. So that'd be fun.
Which I think is a wonderful
segue
into announcing that we've talked so much about that digital performing arts program. We've talked about things that we want to see happen. And I think that this year is a year that we're going to see so much growth in that because LCT is so proud to announce that Daniel Ballard will be coming on in a full-time manner as our digital performing arts director.
Woo! I didn't know. Huh?
I didn't know.
I still thought it was a couple years away. Yeah. That's fantastic.
You heard that I got...
Yes, I didn't know. You told me that.
Okay, so... but, yeah, because I, you know, don't have a job right now. I was about to not have a job, so it worked out that LCT... It's where I wanted to be for a long time.
Sure.
Doing that stuff. It was, you know, going to be... You know, it'll be a little interesting to make it work, but I think we've already thought of some ways to make this program, you know, to be able to grow this program, doing the, you know, trying to have a few films that we do and bring Live-ish back. And I think that there's potential for it. We just got to get it going. And now that I actually be there most of the time.
Yeah, I think that's cool. Really one of the reasons we haven't been able to do it is because we haven't had enough time to be able to focus on it. So being able to have that at the forefront... And it's already innovative programming. I can't think of that many theaters that are focused on that. So it's already innovative. And to be able to put that time and effort and talent, I mean, we are talking about, you know, a 4-time Emmy Award-winning Dana Bell.
It's true.
Putting that type of stuff behind it will push so much to what we can do. The live-ish, the film festivals, the extra master classes, bringing in more of the community in, and, again, providing more opportunities for artists in those short films, in that sketch comedy, in the writing, in the all of it.
Yeah.
It's just another entire program that can grow to bounds that I don't even think we're aware of yet.
Yeah. So it's a lot of excitement about the future. It's always been a program that we've had big ideas for and know that, like, this is little we can do with it now, and here's stuff we want to build here. I can't wait till we can do that. And now that we're finally getting to, all right, let's actually start this, we're actually gonna, you know, resources are there, we can,
it's exciting, it'll be fun. Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to actually all the stuff we've been talking about forever to try to actually mm-hmm. make it
that's
happen,
cool
so.
Yeah.
And it couldn't be in better hands.
Now these two together, I mean, it's talking about it, I need Rachel to help me do all the things we do. I mean, I think y'all having each other will be a good...
We work so well.
Yeah, y'all work well together.
Yeah. It's funny. So I have a friend that I used, you know, we used to do stuff all the time. But whenever we would have our big ideas and we'd bring them together, the way we worked, we had to, like, cut it down to, like, the least common denominator just because mm-hmm. we disagreed about things and so, like, it was a compromise and stuff. Whereas I feel like when Jed and I work together, we, like, come together with this idea and then we, like, ooh, what if? And, like, it gets bigger and better as it goes as opposed to the other guy mm-hmm. who I was good friends with. But our work was always very tense because we...
Our collaboration really just personifies the whole concept of yes and.
Yeah.
That's... that's we've always been able to just bounce ideas off of each other and they always grow in the process.
That's like, cool. Like two dudes sitting on the couch. Hey, remember that one time?
Yeah, that was great.
So, thank you, Charlie, for those great questions.
Yeah, those are good questions.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you get, like, for real, I just had the plan, like, we'll just hang out and talk for a bit. And then Charlie's like, no, I've got questions. It's actually going to be, like, a proper episode and everything. It's great.
He knows better than to just turn us loose.
Literally the 10 minutes before, I was just like, we need something to talk about. Here's a bunch of questions that I want to know about.
Good questions.
I appreciate it. So,
yeah.
Giving us some guidance.
Yeah. Well, we are a little over the hour mark, which
okay.
is a supersized episode for us. So
that's fine. It's 100. It's fine.
Yeah.
But, it was so much fun to have the whole table back together.
You guys.
Yeah,
you
know.
It's good.
We should do it a little more often.
I miss you guys.
I think I say that every time I join.
I know. Every time.
Well, I'm excited because of Mike coming over. I'll actually be able to. That's what he was talking about earlier. You hinted at it.
Yeah.
Well,
there were a couple of things this episode that I kind of hinted at. Wasn't sure if we were talking about
yeah,
yet.
Yeah.
And then Heather would be like, "Well, no, we'll announce it." Like, "Oh, okay, yeah, right on." It's like, I don't know what this is.
I don't know.
No,
maybe
I guess
we keep some stuff close, but
Would
this be out next Friday?
This will be out Monday.
Oh,
yeah.
Monday.
Yeah, this week, folks, you're getting a supersized bonus back in two episodes of Five Tall Places in 1 week.
If we need to cut anything.
No, I just, so that'll be the last Monday that I don't work on SD, because the next Monday.
Yeah, by the time,
there.
Yeah.
So.
No, pretty rad.
The 11th.
All right, well, I guess as much as I would like for us to just sit here and hang out for 4 hours, I should probably go and sign out.
Jed, don't forget to do the thing.
Oh, Beth, I don't remember how to do it. What do I say?
Oh, God. On behalf of me and my co-hosts.
Oh, yeah, on behalf of myself, my co-hosts, we want to thank everybody who's listening and who's supporting LCT and everyone who's excited as we are about the future,
mm-hmm.
both this upcoming year and just all of the upcoming years that we have ahead of us. It's just starting here. So thanks, everyone. This has been Five Tall Places.
Thank you, Five!
Production of Lubbock Community Theater. Be sure to follow us on social media for all the latest news and updates surrounding our projects and the goings-on at LCT. Our theme music is Pizza and Video Games by Bonus Points. A link to that artist and their music can be found in the show notes. Look them up, give them some support. Thanks for being with us this week, and as always, thank you for supporting live theater in the Lubbock, Texas area and beyond.
Come on.